This is an AMI podcast. This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Dave Brown, and this is a podcast version of AMI's Morning Show, Now with Dave Brown. Catch the live broadcasts weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m. Eastern on AMI Audio and AMI TV. Welcome back. It's Now with Dave Brown on AMI. A couple of weeks ago, the food website Epicurious announced they will no longer publish menus with beef recipes in an effort to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. Joining us now to help make sense of the carbon footprint of beef is our environmental contributor, Lawrence Gunther. And Lawrence is also the host of the AMI original podcast, Outdoors with Lawrence Gunther. Hey, good morning, Lawrence.
Good morning, Dave.
So, Lawrence, let's start here. Just so we all know, what is a climate-conscious foodie?
Yeah, you know, it's an evolving kind of situation, right? I mean, foodies were all about fashionable food, and then it sort of morphed into include what's good for you, you know, good for your heart, good for your belly, good for your diet, all that stuff. And now it's gone into whole sustainability side. Like, is it socially ethical and moral? And is it environmentally sustainable? Like, is it causing climate change? And people want to eat right now. It's like there's all these questions coming up.
We've come a long way since the Epic Mealtime guys were doing bacon strips over and over and over again. So Epicurious is joining a growing number of climate-conscious foodies who are taking the stand to help with the environment. So what does it mean when a company like this takes a proactive approach?
You know, there's going to be winners and losers, Dave. I mean, it's one thing to be neutral just in the background, you know, hey, don't look at me, I'm just the food company. But more and more, you know, companies are expected to step up. Look how many companies stepped up on the whole BIPOC thing, Black Lives Matter, right? I mean, at some point, a company has to say, look, I'm going to get on the bandwagon here, and I'm going to lend my influence to a good cause, the right cause. And if it means losing some customers, well, maybe I'll gain some customers. And in the end, hopefully it won't get worse. You know, maybe it'll stay the same. Maybe it'll get a bit better. But yeah, you can't just sit on the sidelines anymore.
Although sometimes getting involved and getting off the sidelines can cause a little bit of a backlash. For example, the regional chain Earl's restaurants had a bit of a rough time when they announced they'd be making an announcement regarding beef a couple years ago in Alberta. So what happened there? Didn't go so well, did it?
No way. You know, I remember you and I ate at the Earl's restaurant in Whitehorse,
Yukon. Sure did. Man. Whenever I traveled with my old producer, Lisa No, she always insisted we went to an Earl's because they're very popular in the prairies in the West, and man, they make good food.
Well, they are, and there are 67 restaurants, and almost all of them are in Alberta. So when the owner of this restaurant chain said, you know what, he was convinced that he needed to take a stand on climate change, but more on animal welfare. So he wanted to find a provider of beef that could provide certified humane beef. You know, the animals were all raised morally and ethically. Their welfare was all properly taken care of to the highest possible standards. He found a farm in the United States. He said, okay, we're going to do animal welfare. We're doing certified humane, and it's all coming from this one farm in the United States. And the Albertan said, what? You think our beef is raised inhumanely, and now you're not even going to serve beef grown in Alberta? Well, that was a huge issue, right? So they boycotted all the restaurants. The owner came within a month. The whole thing was turned around. You know, for the next 6 months, that owner was still apologizing, and there's no mention of humane certified on that restaurant website anymore.
Yeah, sometimes the backlash can get you, for sure. Sometimes you have to know what your customer base is, and you also understand that sometimes people are just going to get riled up, right? They see something they don't like, and they're going to jump on that bandwagon. Okay, Lawrence, let's start kind of putting this in perspective a little bit, though, because I know you and I both enjoy a hamburger or a steak from time to time. So how much beef should we be cutting back on personally if we're really going to be making a meaningful contribution to reducing greenhouse gas emissions?
Well, let's look at the footprint or the hoofprint on this, right? So, good pun, eh?
I like that.
Yeah, me too. I just came up with that. So you think about cattle in pasture. It takes 20 times more land, and they produce 20 times more greenhouse gases than it does to grow the equivalent amount of protein using something like soya, right? A plant. So there's a huge thing, right? 20 times and 20 times more gas and 20 times more space. So that's a big thing. Now, if we just decided to eat one less meal of beef a month, just one less meal of beef, that would make a pretty sizable impact right away. Now, if we went a little further and we said, okay, let's cut back our red meat consumption by 25%, and out of that remaining 75%, we're going to have beef 1/4 of the time and pork 75% of the time. You would be lowering the amount of greenhouse gases going into the atmosphere from the livestock sector. So that's chickens, turkeys, you know, milk cows, all of it. You would be lowering it by 10%. 10% reduction in greenhouse gases coming from the livestock sector, which is not insignificant. The livestock sector produces a lot of greenhouse gases. So, you know, it's totally within our realm of feasibility without having to go to becoming a vegetarian or a vegan. And we talked about that the other day. But, it, you know, you don't have to give up. It's a flexitarian, right? It's this whole balance. So, yeah, we could do it.
Yeah, it doesn't always need to be drastic choices. It can be small choices. And I will say, if you're going to take the hamburger out of my hand, a pork chop will go a long way to convincing me to do something different.
Rips.
Lawrence, I think I know the answer to this question, but it's worth asking anyway because we hear these terms tossed out a lot. What is better to eat for the planet, grass-fed beef or beef raised on feedlots?
Well, I've been looking into this a little bit because I thought about that and I thought you might be asking that. And, you know, we always think of feedlots, you know, where they corral the cattle and they give them super high test kind of food, lots of corns and grains, you know. It gives it that nice, the meat, that nice marbled look and tasty. I mean, we've all become sort of, you know, we learned to love that kind of beef. We've been hooked on it like crack cocaine. My goodness, it's so tasty. But, you know, we always think of that as really stinky, right? Because of the amount of, you know, sewage and all that being produced. And we think, oh, isn't it nice to have them on the field and they're just roaming around eating grass? Turns out, though, that grass is harder to digest, creates more methane gas and other gases. And the cows produce more greenhouse gases, the cattle, when they're on pasture. But, big but here, you have pasture. That's grass. That's soil, that's roots in the soil, that's all carbon sequestration. And if you're sequestering carbon in the grass and in the soil, in the roots, then that's a plus. So the net impact in terms of greenhouse gas, you're better off probably eating pasture red beef, raised beef. It's a flavor you got to get used to, right? It doesn't happen overnight, but it's got more flavor. It's got more beef flavor and less sort of just fatty flavor because it's a leaner meat, but it's much better for you and it's better for the planet. So pasture raised, thumbs up.
So Lawrence, speaking of that, we're going to make you Dr. Lawrence here for this next question. Mm-hmm. Do the benefits of eating less beef go beyond climate change?
The Lancet Journal says that we should be eating 25%, you know, less beef. We should only be eating one meal of beef a week, right? That's what they're saying. You know, and I don't know why, but I guess because, you know, the most times we eat beef, it's in the form of burgers and they're not lean. It's not like a extra lean kind of meat, right? It's not where we can cut all the fat away and we're just eating the beef itself. We're eating a lot of fat and that's not good for the heart. And a lot of us aren't that active. I mean, if we're all out there running around, cutting down trees and chasing rabbits and, you know, doing stuff in the outdoors, it wouldn't be such a big deal, but we're not that kind of people anymore. So storing animal fat in our body is making us, you know, fatter and it's making our hearts less, you know, efficient. So yeah, they're saying, you know, we really need to cut back eating beef by to maybe one meal a week. That's a little scary.
Yeah, and it comes down a little bit to choice. So overall, Lawrence, what are your thoughts on the aspect of this becoming a matter of personal choice?
I got kids that are, you know, young teens, you know, with me again. And you think I'd be done with that, eh? No, did it again.
These puns are utterly ridiculous.
But these Gen Zs, right? They really, you know, they're seeing this stuff on their phones, on their tablets all the time, this kind of information. They don't want to eat beef all the time. They don't want to eat fast food and food that's not good for you. And so we've been making deliberate choices, you know, flexitarian type choices. And it's not something you jump into, you know, right away. You can, but it's like going on a diet. You know, it's just difficult to stay on. And it's something you just slide into little by little. And I think we all have that choice. And I think now it's not so much a personal choice anymore. It's a choice we all have to start to make, because it's something we can do to fight climate change. And we all need to fight climate change. We know we need to bring those numbers down. We know we need to stop temperatures from increasing, stop greenhouse gases from increasing. Here's an easy win for all of us to do, and it's going to be good for us as well.
Yeah, Lawrence, I think that's been the theme of a lot of our conversations that we've had in the last couple of months between you and I, that it's not about one singular silver bullet. It's about making a lot of small changes. Now, there are drastic overall changes systemically that need to be made, but we can do a lot in terms of small individual personal choices.
Yeah, I agree, Dave. I agree. Yeah.
So, Lawrence, what's coming up this weekend on Outdoors with Lawrence Gunther?
Well, what's planned right now is our blind kayaking adventure stuff.
Oh.
How to whitewater, everything from whitewater to sea kayaking and everything in between. And starting Friday, it's the May long weekend, time to head out to the cabin. So if you're a blind person, what kind of cabin do you want?
One that my personal chauffeur can get me to in relatively short order.
That's a big one for sure, right? Because who wants to be stuck at the cabin with no wheels?
Well, a couple of years ago, Lawrence, I was thinking about applying to become a Canadian senator. And to be a senator in Canada, you have to own some land. And I was a renter at the time. And I said to myself, okay, well, what if I just bought a parcel of land south of the city of Ottawa and built myself a little cottage? And to be honest, there was lots of land available that wasn't too expensive. But then I kind of realized, how am I going to get there on the weekends? I can't just take an Uber to the cottage.
No, you could. You could, but...
you might be a little stranded, and that's how a horror movie starts.
Yeah, the guy who's driving you is going to be living in the cabin, and you're going to be sleeping outside.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, Lawrence, always fun catching up with you, my friend. Have yourself a great day.
You too, Dave.
That's Lawrence Gunther. He's the host of the AMI audio podcast, Outdoors with Lawrence Gunther, which you can also hear in show form Fridays at 8 p.m. Eastern Time right here on AMI Audio. You've been listening to Now with Dave Brown. Hit the subscribe button on any podcast platform and leave us a rating and a review.